Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just commence with a prayer before handing over to the Deputy Chair Commissioner. Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to their elders, past and present. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. I formally declare this meeting open of the Council of the City of Perth. Are there any apologies?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner, we have an apology from Chair Commissioner Andrew Hammond and Chief Executive Officer Murray Jorgensen.
Thank you. Moving to item four, are there any questions from the public?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
Thank you. And are there any questions from the floor this evening? Thank you. Are there any deputations?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner. We have deputations have been received in relation to item 13.1, 4 Brown Street, East Perth, from four individuals. And we also have a deputation in relation to item 13.12, in relation to the new leases for City Foreshore Investments.
Thank you. Members on leave of absence, an application for leave of absence, Mr. CEO?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
I'd now like to move to item six. This relates to the confirmation of the minutes from the previous meeting. Would somebody so move?
Happy to move.
Thank you, Commissioner, and I'm happy to second from the floor. Is there any discussion, Commissioner? If not, I'll put the minutes from the previous meetings, and there were three in total, the Ordinary Council meeting on the 17th of December 2019, the Special Council meeting held on the 21st of January 2020, and the Annual General Meeting of Electors held on the 4th of February 2020, noting that the minutes of the Audit Risk Committee held on the 19th of February 2020 as a true and correct record. Is there any further discussion on those minutes, Commissioner? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Nil against. Motion carried. Thank you. Item 7 relates to announcements by the Chair Commissioner. I would like, on behalf of the City, to respond to the Wellington Square enhancement question. The City of Perth Wellington Square Master Plan was recognised with an honourable mention on the 8th of November 2019 at the International Federation of Landscape Architects Asia Pacific Congress held in Cebu, Philippines. This category recognises a wide variety of professional activities that led to, guide, and evaluate landscape architecture design. Wellington Square was acknowledged for its extensive community consultation, site investigation, and analysis, leading to a series of principles and a set vision to guide the phased implementation of the master plan. For the record, show the honourable mention certificate. And I'd like, on behalf of the commissioners, to thank the enormous amount, to acknowledge the enormous amount of work put in by so many members of City of Perth staff to bring this project not just to a master plan, but actually to now a staged implementation. I think it will have a profound impact on that area of the city, and I'd sincerely like to thank everyone for their involvement in achieving that, and that has been acknowledged on an international scale. So thank you very much. Moving to item 8, the disclosure of members' interests. Does any commissioner or employee wish to disclose an interest and its nature in an item contained in the agenda? Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair, Commissioner. I have two disclosures of impartiality interest relating to items on tonight's agenda. The first is a impartiality interest disclosure on item 13.2, submissions on state government's public consultation papers regarding special entertainment precincts and managing amplified music noise. The nature of my impartiality interest there is that I am a member of the West Australian Planning Commission Statutory Planning Committee, but I was not in attendance at the committee meeting when that matter was determined by that Statutory Planning Committee. The second impartiality interest disclosure relates to agenda item 13.7, which is the strategic event sponsorship for Town Team Movement. The nature of my impartiality interest there is that in mid-2019, I collaborated with Town Team Movement on a project in my consultancy capacity for another WA local government.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I'll note for the record that both those natures of interest, the extent of both, recorded as insignificant. Thank you for the disclosure. Is there any disclosures from members of staff present tonight? Noted. Thank you. Are there any questions of which notice has been given, Mr. CEO?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
And has any correspondence been received?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
And have any petitions been received?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
Thank you. Are there any matters for which the meeting may be closed?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner. In accordance with Section 5.232 of the Local Government Act 1995, to preserve the confidentiality of Attachment 13.9A, it is recommended that the meeting be closed to the public prior to consideration of the matter. That's in relation to a public art piece for the East End Revitalisation Project.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. So moving to item 13, the following items will be considered separately. Item 13.1, of which a deputation has been received. Item 13.2, noting the Commissioner's declaration. Item 13.7, noting the Commissioner's declaration. Item 13.9, noting the confidential attachment. And item 13.12, noting a deputation to be made. This leaves the following items to be moved en bloc. Item 13.3, item 13.4, item 13.5, item 13.6, item 13.8, item 13.10, item 13.11, item 13.13, item 13.14, item 13.15, item 13.16, item 13.17, item 13.18, and item 13.19. May I have a mover, please, for the movement of those items on block, and I'm happy to second from the chair. Is there any discussion on that, Commissioner? If not, all those in favour, nil against, and the motion is carried. The first item for separate discussion and decision is item 13.1, and I understand that we have a number of deputation requests, and I'd like to invite Kasia Betka to come forward. Please introduce yourself, and without wishing in any way to restrict your contribution to our decision making, could I ask that you be very structured and to the point, because we do have a number of people speaking on this item.
Indeed, no problem. Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair Commissioner, and thank you for the opportunity to address you this afternoon. I will be very brief, noting that I presented at the briefing session, so a number of the matters were previously discussed. My name is Kasia Betka. I'm the owner-occupier of residence directly opposite the premises on Brown Street that are the subject of this application. It's also worth noting I'm a professional town planner with approximately 28 years of experience in private practice. And I only say that because I raised a couple of issues pertaining to compatibility of the land use with the scheme and general planning matters. So I drawn my experience in that regard. My objection to the proposed land use is specifically to the function centre component. All the other land uses I do not have any issues with. The grounds for my objection are as follows. Irrespective of the proposed incidental uses, that being the yoga class, art centre, pop-up stores, etc., the nature, scale and level of activity associated with the proposed function centre deems it, in my opinion, as the primary proposed land use. As such, the function centre land use is not compatible with the character of the Brown Street precinct. The precinct is predominantly residential, with a very small-scale non-residential land uses operating within standard business hours. This is different to the surrounding precinct, that being the Cove and the other side of Plain Street, which have more of a nighttime entertainment feel. The character and composition of this precinct have been reinforced over the years by Council's decision to approve more and more residential components, particularly on Brown Street. It's also worth noting that Council's policies and design guidelines, and indeed the old East Perth Redevelopment Authority's guidelines, required all dwellings, residential dwellings, facing Brown Street to address the street. Consequently, most of our dwellings have got all, majority, if not all, habitable room windows facing Brown Street. The proposed centre raises a number of concerns. The proposed operating hours, in particular the scale and hours of operations on the weekends. Large number of patrons leaving the premises late at night. Lack of parking. No public transport that operates during the proposed hours of operation. CAC bus shuts down at 6:30 or 6, depending on the day. Uber taxi pickups till early hours of in the morning, noise associated with patrons leaving the premises. So notwithstanding the attempt to introduce acoustic measures to contain the noise within, but it's the spilling of the patrons on the street in the middle of the night that we do have a concern with. I note the amended conditions in the agenda, excluding Sunday night operation. However, this doesn't address the fundamental lack of compatibility of this land use in this particular location, with this location and the precinct. The scale is incompatible with surrounding residential land use. It will, in my opinion, negatively affect the amenity of the locality and definitely result in a significant and unacceptable loss of amenity for residential properties nearby. I therefore ask you to consider that the proposed function centre land use is incompatible with the character of the precinct and contrary to the order and proper planning for the locality. I request that you give consideration to refusing the function centre component of this application, excluding it from the planning approval, or at the very least restricting the scale and operating hours, that being to a more significant level than currently suggested in the amended agenda. There's been a change from the briefing session to today. Ideally, this would restrict this to having no activity late at night on the weekends. That would be an ideal situation, if not refusal of the entire component. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could I invite Mr. Cole Curtin to address us, please?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to address Council. My name is Carl Curtis. I'm a ratepayer and resident in East Perth. I live some 40 metres from the Brown Street East Perth proposal. I object to the proposal to approve a function centre included in the application. The term for function centre is a mask for use for bars, nightclubs, etc. These activities are totally incompatible in a residential area. By way of background, I was employed by the East Perth Redevelopment Authority, which was responsible for the planning, development and sales of land in the Claysbrook area. It was envisaged that the commercial properties on Brown Street would eventually change to residential. Indeed, the authority endeavoured to acquire a number of properties for residential purposes. Unfortunately, negotiations were unsuccessful. However, it's pleasing to note that the conversion to residential is now occurring, with one unit being occupied as a resident and another on the market being advertised as a residential opportunity, I assume with council zoning approval. Royal Street was planned by the authority as the commercial retail mixed-use area, which it is today. I'm not opposed to commercial proposals, but they need to be sympathetic to existing residents and their well-being. There are existing event spaces at venues such as the Royal, City Farm and so on. Indeed, the City of Perth's vacant commercial space in Royal Street is another opportunity that they can have. At the agenda briefing session, officers advised that they had spent the majority of their discussions with the proponent focusing on activities that would use the space, such as yoga classes, art exhibition, modelling and so on, rather than the function centre use, or rather than speaking on the function centre uses. I wonder if they discussed the possibility of attracting the CWA to hold scone making classes or a knitting club perhaps. Stripping away the sugar coating, the proposal to approve a function centre, which I believe is the primary interest in this application, will result in alcohol-fueled patrons with all the associated problems spilling out at midnight into a residential area. No amount of management plans or undertakings will alleviate this. Finally, you will note a total of 36 submissions were received during the advertising period, with 33 raising objections and 3 providing support in relation to the proposal. The main objections were noise, antisocial behaviour, security, parking and transport issues. These objectives have not been addressed suitably by the proponent. The issues raised still exist. I request Council give consideration to refusing the function centre component of this application, or at the very least, restricting the scale and operating hours to weekdays only. That is, no evening or weekend activity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Curtis. My apologies for referring to you as Mr. Curtin. Thank you. Could I please invite Mr. Ben McCarthy from Elmerson Proprietary Limited to now address us? Mr. Anton Conti, please.
Thank you, Deputy Chair Commissioner, and thank you for the opportunity to address this forum. My name is Anton Conti, and together with my wife, we own and reside at 7 Flagstaff Lane with our 2 children, aged 8 and 9. Our house is located approximately 25 metres from the site. In addition to the comments made by the other objectors to the proposal, which for those that have presented I agree with, I object to the proposal for the proposed use as a function centre for the following additional reasons. The car parking, there are limited amounts of car bays on Brown Street and surrounding streets at present. The proponent points to parking at Martellup Park. However, that parking is limited and it is utilised by the visitors to residents at the 2 apartment buildings nearby. At the proposed site, the previous use of a gym caused temporary parking issues. However, these were minimised by the staggering of patrons attending the gym and that they would only park at the gym for sort of 1 to 1.5 hours. Whereas what we have from a function centre point of view is that a lot of cars arriving at the same time and parking for a longer period of time. The car parking would not be staggered and the cars would be there for an impact upon visitors to the residential properties along the north of the cove. The availability of the yellow cat bus with its restricted hours and the train station as other modes of transport are quite frankly not a viable alternative for late night functions. A search of other function centres around the inner city all have substantial parking nearby. These include the function centres at the Royal, the Wacker, Gloucester Park and at Perth City Farm. In short, there is insufficient number of car bays or other transport alternatives to facilitate a function venue at the site, and in my view this would substantially impact the amenity of the residents north of the cove.
My second main objection is in relation to noise, and I have significant material concerns regarding the potential noise that will be caused by the function centre. As indicated, I am a resident across the road at Flagstaff Lane. As part of the design guidelines for the construction of residences at Flagstaff Lane and Ensign Lane, residents were required to have an open courtyard facing north. That is, they were facing the subject site. The north-facing aspect of these courtyards means that all the courtyards are closer to the site and the adverse impact of noise is heightened. Also, as a consequence of having a courtyard, the bedrooms of many of the houses on Flagstaff Lane and on Ensign Lane either face the lane or the public rights of way. The rooms that will cop the brunt of the noise from the site will be the bedrooms and not the living areas. Both of my daughter's bedrooms face Flagstaff Lane. Despite the proponent's intentions, there is little doubt that there will be significant noise generated from the operation of a function centre and from patrons leaving the proposed venue late at night, particularly if alcohol is served. The fact that there is limited car parking at the site and that people have to walk a substantial distance to get to their cars means that they will be walking along streets for some distance. The bedrooms of residences along Flagstaff Lane and Ensign Lane will be most impacted by the noise. It is not as if this site has a rear car park where most of the patrons can visit, can park their car and leave quietly from that rear car park. This, in my view, will no doubt cause a material adverse impact to our amenity due to the noise generated from patrons attending the function centre. It's also to be noted that there are no other businesses along Brown Street, east of Plain Street, that are open past 6 p.m. It's not like Royal Street where there are cafes and restaurants. As part of my considerations in respect to the proponent's proposed uses, I investigated other function centres in Perth and their location. In my investigations, there is only one other function centre located across the road from residential houses, and this is in Clifton Street in Mount Lawley, Clifton Crescent in Mount Lawley, and that venue has ample parking on site, and the function centre is part of the synagogue and often obviously used for religious functions. Also, the location of the function centre at Clifton Crescent premises is where it's used. The actual function centre on that site is located well away from the street front, and given the large setbacks in Mount Lawley, there would be certainly significantly less disturbance to the neighbourhood. As indicated from my investigations, there's no other function centres located next to residential houses that I could determine, and none as close as the proposed site. In conclusion, my objection to the proponent's proposed use as a function centre is not me being a NIMBY. It is apparent on my investigations and the concerns regarding noise associated with function centres that function centres are incompatible with residential areas, and therefore they're incompatible with everyone's backyard. Once again, I do appreciate the opportunity to address my concerns, and I thank you for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Conti. I'd now like to invite Mr. Ben McCarthy from Elmerson Priority Limited to address the Council.
Could I invite the Commissioners to have a copy of our presentation, given that we are never put up on the screen? You've got a copy of it? Fantastic. Okay. Thank you for your time this evening, Commissioners. It concerns us that tonight we're getting faced with this idea that we're going to have to change the land use and try to... We hear the concerns. We're very committed to working with the community, as we've said. And further to our deputation made on the 17th of December, it was actually invited by the city's planning officers. When we came and consulted with planning officers, this is our proposal, this is what we'd like to do. The planning officers made it really clear that we need to put in a DA that relates to the fact that we straddle three land uses: culture and creative industry, community, and to a much lesser degree, dining and entertainment. And this dining and entertainment part of it seems to be where everyone has the most conflict with the proposal. The word function centre is contemplated under the under what is it, land use planning? Under the dining and land use, what is it? Category 7, and that's a relevant use that's described under Category 7, and that was actually encouraged by the planning officers here at City of Perth that that's what we need to put in. We spent some time after the previous council meeting in December consulting and going through all the proposed land uses, describing the frequency, the patronage, the, you know, every issue that had been previously raised, and it was encouraged again that we should be putting in our DA in accordance with, you know, Category 7. Look, it is to a much lesser of a degree that it's not a public... Category 7, I'll just read it out to you. Premises designed to be used to provide public entertainment or social interaction, principally in dining and drinking. It's not a public venue. It's a private venue that we are proposing bespoke dining events and bespoke private functions. We know that East Perth, in development of our business plan, East Perth, the residents, it's medium density, it's high density. There are very few venues where the residents can actually come and celebrate and come together and have a dining experience of more than six people. So I just wanted to go, I won't go through the whole presentation tonight, but what we are contemplating is a multi-purpose event space for the community. And to define exactly what those events will comprise of is actually partly defined by the community themselves, the needs and the wants and the types of experiences the community actually want to use the space for. The property is unoccupied and unusable in its current condition, and as owners, we are owners, we're ratepayers, we're committed to investing in the area, renovating and beautifying the space. I'm hearing like there's three main concerns, and if you let me, I'll just quickly address each of those. The first concern is the proposal will adversely affect the amenity of residents in relation to environmental character. Our response is that the proposal enhances the character through the locality through land use diversity, providing restored, improved and adaptable space, facilitating opportunity for users to provide amenity to local residents. The development application and the supporting documentation provided empirical information demonstrating that these adverse impacts that have been discussed will be appropriately managed. So when people suggest that there's going to be traffic problems, describe how. If there's noise problems, the noise regulations are very black and white. You either exceed them or you're in compliance with them. We're committed to providing an operational management plan. We prepared a draft one that was part of the development application. The second concern that I've heard is the proposal will not ensure a successful mix of land uses and activities. To that, our response would be the proponent, Almerson PTY of today, has provided substantial information. The proposal clearly creates land use diversity, not serialisation. And further to Mr Curtis's presentation, the East Perth redevelopment scheme never intended East Perth to become purely residential. The precinct statement of intent clearly states it's a mixed-use area. And if you go to... I'm not going to school Mr Curtis, I know him well, and he knows his work. Precinct EP9 statement says that the Brown Street precinct will provide a mix of uses, commercial and high amenity, light industry to the north of Brown Street, that's our cluster of built forms, and residential to the south. And the three land uses that have been recommended for approval by the planning officer are indeed contemplated, of course. The third concern is the proposal creates significant noise, traffic and parking issues. Our response would be it's a pre-existing building, parking has never been provided. There is no requirement to provide parking as the site is within the area of the Perth parking policy, which establishes parking maximums, not minimums, to discourage private car use. And reference to the applicability of PPP is clearly stated in the CPS2 parking and access policy. It is not an entire residential area. The precinct statement of intent, as I said, clearly states it's a mixed-use area. And the DA supporting documentation provided forecast vehicle movements and demonstrated there's no significant impacts with clear management response to any of the issues raised. The acoustic modelling demonstrates that we are in compliance, even worst case, with the forecast at an upper maximum of 200 people in the space, which is not anticipated at all. The draft EA conditions are talking a maximum of 120 with special permission for a monthly increase above and beyond that. At 200 patrons, we are seeing noise levels in the vicinity of 25 dB at the closest residential window across the road of the Brown Street. We either comply with the noise regulations or we don't. We're quite conscious of the onerous requirements of them. And with that, in summary, we believe, you know, as committed proponents, that the proposal is an appealing space, and for it to really work, it needs to be multi-purpose. And for it to be multi-purpose, function centre is an important element of our proposal. Is there anything, Ben, you wanted to add to that?
No.
Thank you for your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. McCarthy. And nothing to add from Mr. Widdowson?
No, that's fine.
Thank you. Could we now move to Ms. Catherine Lazur from the East Perth Community Group, please?
Thank you. Anne-Marie Ferguson couldn't be here tonight, so I'm standing in for her. And I know that we have presented twice on this matter, so I won't go over every finding. But we do want to point out that East Perth Community Group has done a recent survey, and it's highlighted that members doing number one priority is indeed business and community activation, however, not at any cost. And our objective tonight is to reaffirm resident issues as presented at the previous briefing sessions, and to say that the East Perth Community Group does not support the planning application to rezone the property as a reception centre. The main issue being no on-site parking, but additionally there are other items that we mentioned previously. No evidence of market demand, numerous venue management issues, general lack of project detail, and limited community consultation. And we read in the most recent adjustment that there is a planning precedent for change of use for residential immediately next door to this, and we feel that that's a conflict. That's all we have to say other than to reaffirm what we presented the last two times. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lazur. Ms. Shirley Vine from the East Perth Community Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Chair, Commissioner. Everything that I was going to speak about has already been said, except for the... I'd like to reiterate that there were 36 responses, 33 negative and 3 positive, and it astounds me how something can get over the line with so many objections. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are there any further speakers? I'm very conscious that this is a contentious issue and we are planning on making a decision tonight. So, referring to the agenda item and the recommendation contained in there, which overall approves the application, I won't read it all out, with 10 subject to's and some advice notes. Commissioner, are you prepared to move that motion?
Through you, Madam Chair, I'm happy to move it for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you, and I'll second it. Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair, Commissioner. If I may start just with a question to the relevant General Manager. The second last speaker from the East Perth Community Group raised a comment about a change of use to residential, either in the building or in the vicinity. Could I please get some clarification around approvals that have been granted in that regard?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. The strata building that contains the subject premises, two of those strata units have got planning approval to be residential. One went through just, I think, towards the end of last year. The other one earlier last year. So, yes, there are approvals for two of the strata units to be refurbed for residential purposes.
Further question through the Chair. Thank you for that. Could officers please provide just some clarification as to the locations of those approvals relative to the subject site at number four, and also whether or not the applicant's acoustic report that has been submitted takes those changes of use into account?
Yes, sorry for that lack of clarification. The strata unit involved is one immediately adjacent to the subject premises. The other strata unit is right at the other end of the building, separated by some commercial ones. My understanding is because our discussions with the applicants indicated that that unit was going to be a change of use to residential, that their acoustic reports have taken that into account.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair. If you'll indulge me, I'd be happy to just provide some opinion and comments on this.
Thank you.
Look, from my perspective, this is obviously a difficult one. I know that there is quite a lot of contention surrounding the issue in the community, and that the applicants are doing their best to realise the potential of a currently vacant and unused and underused site, which I commend them for. Of all of the issues that have been raised, I have to, unfortunately for members of the community, discount some of them from a purist planning viewpoint. So things like parking, I appreciate all of the arguments for and against the parking, what is perceived as a parking shortfall. Market demand is, in my opinion, not a relevant planning consideration. I appreciate the applicant's argument that the premises can be made to comply with acoustic requirements under the Environmental Protection Noise Regs, and even, dare I say, I'd go so far as to say that the number of objections is not always an indicator of the decision that ought to be made. However, that having been said, I do then refer to Local Planning Scheme Number 26, and in particular Clause 4.9, which outlines the planning requirements and aspirations for Precinct 9, which is the Brown Street precinct. Whilst I accept what the applicant has commented on in their deputation about the statement of intent, does identify a mix of uses, commercial and high amenity light industry on the north side of Brown Street and residential to the south, I also cannot discount, under Clause 4.9.2 of that scheme, which identifies that the only preferred land use of all of the land use categories that are contemplated is Category 5A permanent residential. So notwithstanding the statement of intent, I believe it is absolutely open to interpretation that the preferred contemplated land use scenario within the precinct ought to be given slightly more weight in terms of permanent residential. In my opinion, then, the question turns to the compatibility of the proposed mix of uses with established, approved, and prevailing land uses in the area. I then look through the various categories of land use which are described under Table 1 of Local Planning Scheme 26, and turning to Category 7, dining and entertainment land uses, there are quite a few, looks like about 10 or more land uses that are specifically described under that broad category of dining and entertainment. Then the description goes on, or below the description for Category 7, it states, in determining an application for development approval, in addition to other provisions of the scheme, the local government shall have regard to the following objectives. Now, this relates to Category 7, the particular land use in question being function centre. So firstly, enhancing lifestyle, character and vibrancy. Secondly, achieving effective venue management, including venue operation, patron management and customer and public safety. And thirdly, ensuring the operation of the land use does not negatively affect the amenity of the locality, including operating hours, traffic, noise or other emissions, and is compatible with surrounding land uses. So in my opinion, notwithstanding that the function centre land use is indeed contemplated, that does not make it preferred. My personal view, having regard to the objectives that I've just read out, in addition to other relevant planning considerations, is that the function centre land use is the land use that I am not prepared to approve. Depending on the course of the discussion and your views, Madam Deputy Chair Commissioner, I would be intending to move an amendment to the current recommendation before us to approve all land uses but the function centre land use. My reasons for doing so would be as I've just stated, but summarily it would be by virtue of the fact that, or the opinion rather, that the function centre would not be compatible with the prevailing residential land uses in the area and would be contrary to orderly and proper planning and have an adverse impact on the existing and future amenity.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner, would you like to move an amended motion?
Through the Chair, yes I would, and that would be for the officer recommendation to be adopted, subject to in the opening paragraph of that recommendation, the following words being deleted: function centre bracket inverted comma dining and entertainment inverted comma close bracket, such that the approval relates to all of the uses listed except function centre, and notes that the consequence of that, or in addition, we would need to move a second component to that recommendation to refuse the proposed use of function centre, due to its inconsistency with the provisions of Local Planning Scheme Number 26 and the adverse impact that I believe it would have on the amenity of the locality.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm prepared to second that amended motion. Is there any further discussion?
Through you, Madam Chair, only to provide an observation or comment for the purposes of the minutes, that whether or not staff would need some time to craft something along those lines, because I did not have an opportunity to actually write those exact words down for the purposes of adopting a recommendation.
Could I have some guidance on that, whether you feel it's necessary in order to capture the Commissioner's motion to revert back to the Council on that basis? Margaret, could we invite your comments on the nature of the motion put and whether you require some time to articulate that motion more clearly, or whether you're comfortable in the words that Commissioner has articulated and are recorded for the record?
Thank you. I think it was quite clear what the Commissioner's intent was, and expressed quite clearly the reasons and the wording, so I don't think it's necessary to take time to further craft wording. I think the wording put forward was appropriate. My only query, I suppose, is whether with the proposed amendment to Condition 1, whether there is a need to further refuse the function centre use, because Condition 1 will have that effect anyhow.
Commissioner?
Through you, Madam Chair, I appreciate the comments. However, for the sake of procedural fairness and natural justice to the applicant, a non-approval of a function centre does not constitute reasons for refusal for which they might choose to exercise the right of appeal to SAP.
Thank you. Well, we'll move forward on that basis. I do note for the benefit of the record that item 2 is now up to a maximum of 120 people, and the hours of operation anticipated are from 7 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Sundays to Thursdays, and including public holidays, and within 7 a.m. to 12 midnight on Fridays and Saturdays. Now, these operating hours relate to the uses apart from the function centre, which is not being supported. Commissioner, did you wish to speak to any of those items 1 to 10 with respect to the context of the revised resolution?
Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair. Sorry, I've not had an opportunity to recheck those 10 conditions and various advice notes to see if there is any reference therein to the function centre, because if the function centre were struck out, then those references would be null and void. I'm not sure if in the meantime if officers have any opinion on that, having crafted those words themselves.
Margaret.
Yes, through the Chair. There is no specific reference to any of the uses thereafter, after Condition 1. There wouldn't then be further complications or requirement to amend any of the other conditions to address the use of the premises. It would only be if there are other aspects of those of the approval that you wish to amend.
Thank you very much. Commissioner?
Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair. Among the discussion, I've just been hastily jotting down the words for a amended recommendation, which would read something along the following lines, but I would recommend, Madam Deputy Chair, that perhaps it be put into two parts. I'm not sure if the Acting CEO has any opinion on this, such that the first part would be the officer recommendation as written, wherein I would recommend that the officer recommendation be adopted, subject to deletion of the words function centre, dining and entertainment. And the second component would then be the amended motion, or a additional motion rather, to refuse the proposed function centre land use due to, one, its incompatibility with the preferred and prevailing residential land uses in the area, and two, its adverse or its potential adverse impact on the amenity of those land uses.
Thank you, Commissioner. So you move that amended motion with those revised wordings. Thank you, and I'm happy to second those. Is there any further discussion, Commissioner? If not, I would like to, for the record, advise that the Commissioner and I have attended the area and observed for ourselves the streetscape on a site visit. And I am happy to support the amended motion. This has been a very challenging decision because, of course, the City of Perth wishes to promote activation, and we thank the leadership of the proponents in doing so. However, it is a responsibility of the Council to also identify the need for compatible land use. And to that effect, the submissions made by the community members have articulated the concerns and outlined the complexity of this decision. I'd also like to thank my fellow commissioner for being able to draw on his expertise of all things local government and planning. So I'll put the amended motion. All those in favour? Nil against. The motion as amended is carried. Just seeking some input from the CEO.
Just a question for Commissioner Costa.
Okay. So would you like to ask a question?
Certainly. Commissioner Costa, we moved the motion. Mm-hmm. We moved an amendment, mm-hmm. which then becomes a substantive motion. Now we'll move the substantive motion. Is that the correct... happy with that process?
Yes, completely. That's fine. Thank you.
And I'm happy with seconding the substantive motion. And if we need to take another vote on that, all those in favour, nil against, motion carried, and we have a happy CEO. Thank you.
This doesn't happen very often.
And now I'd like to move to item 13.12, and this relates to submissions on the state government's public consultation papers, the special entertainment precincts and managing amplified music noise in entertaining precincts. I'm happy to move the motion from the chair. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Commissioner. I have no need to discuss this, Commissioner. If so, I'll put the motion. All those in favour and nil against, the motion is carried. Moving to item 13.7, this relates to strategic event sponsorship, town team movement, shift, cooperative innovation series. I'll put the motion from the chair. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Commissioner. I do not wish to discuss the motion, but invite you to do so.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Chair Commissioner. Only to thank the GM of Community Development Alliance, who her and her staff reached out to Town Team Movement to provide additional clarification on some questions that I had in respect of the item that came to us at briefing session last week. So I'm now satisfied with the information that staff have provided and happy with the recommendation.
Thank you. So we've moved the motion and seconded. All those in favour? Nil against. The motion's carried. I'd now like to move to item 13.12. This relates to new leases, City Foreshore Investments Proprietary Limited, 25 lot 306 Riverside Drive, Point Fraser, and I understand we have a deputation.
Thank
Welcome.
You. Good evening. Less contentious item than usual when I'm usually standing here with this development. I just wanted to say we're supporting the officer's recommendation, and I wanted to put on record thanks to Paul Warren, to your acting CEO, who's also your GM of Corporate Services. It's been a very long, drawn-out process with a lot of mistakes made, but we're on the right track. I just wanted to add some comments around the security of tenure for the total footprint of the site. Obviously, the plans that were approved, there's a site encroachment there that when we have the new lease in place, we'll have confidence for the next couple of decades to invest even more into that facility. We're looking forward to the developments at the east end of Perth completing to add to more population for the area. We'll be changing up some tenancies in the next couple of months, so you'll see some applications coming through there to keep things interesting. But I also wanted to put on record we really need to fix up this overflow car parking situation before summer hits again. I'm sure you don't want me sitting at this microphone crying for another summer, but hopefully working with Bill and the team. But just wanted to put that on record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fleeton. And I doubt if we'll be here next summer, but on that basis...
I feel silly.
Indeed. So, thank you. Would somebody move the motion, please? Thank you, Commissioner, and I'm happy to second. Do you have any discussion? No, neither do I. So, all those in favour and nil against, motion carried. We now need to deal with a confidential item, item 13.9. And on that basis, I think the chamber needs to be cleared and we'll invite you back in a few minutes. Thank you. Could we move behind closed doors? Thank you, seconded. All those in favour? Nil against. Thank you.
Well, what are they? Just... I'm wondering whether you just want to touch on the fact that these are both for Commissioner Hammond,
yes,
and he's provided written approval under our standards as local EBS or for Commissioner.
Shall I invite you to
do? We can do that. Sure.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to move now to motions of which previous notice has been given. Both these motions have been provided by Commissioner Hammond. Mr. CEO.
Sorry, 2 seconds, Commissioner. Can we just read out the resolution from behind closed doors first, please?
Oh, a big problem. The resolution from behind closed doors relating to item 13.9 was carried for the report. Thank you for that prompt. Now moving to item 14.
Thank you, Commissioner. I just wanted to make a statement before we got into these next two items, and that is that these two items have come from Commissioner Hammond, who is obviously absent. Under our standing orders, local law, he's entitled to raise these notices of motion and has provided authority to both or either yourself and Commissioner Kosova to raise these on his behalf.
Thank you, CEO. The first motion, 14.1, relates to the council house accommodation arrangements. Commissioner Hammond has asked that, or the following: the purpose of this report is to provide administrative advice and comment on the following motion submitted by Chair Commissioner Hammond for consideration at the council meeting to be held on the 25th of February 2020. That is, that the Chief Executive Officer, 1, initiate a project to review the accommodation arrangements within Council House, 2, A, consolidated elected member meeting spaces, civic reception areas, councillor support facilities and mayoral office, B, optimise the use of space for administrative purposes, C, make at least one additional floor available for commercial tenancy, and 2, make provision for the planning stages of the project in 2019-20 budget review with subsequent prioritised capital works to commence in 2021. I am happy to... The motion from Commissioner Hammond is to that effect, and I'm happy to move that motion from the Chair. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Commissioner. The discussion, the context around this motion is for effectiveness, efficiency and financial prudential reasons, and allows the CEO to look at options to improve the utilisation of this building. Any further discussion from you, Commissioner?
No, thank you.
So I've moved the motion. It's been seconded. I'd like to take a vote. All those in favour? And nil against, the motion has been carried. Moving to item 14.2, this relates to the policy for motor vehicle and transport services. Again, this motion has been proposed by Chair Commissioner Hammond. The notice of motion is that the Chief Executive Officer, 1, develop a draft council policy on the provision of a motor vehicle and transport services for the Lord Mayor, and 2, present the draft council policy to the ordinary council meeting on the 31st of March 2020. I'm happy to move that motion from the Chair. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Commissioner. I have no discussion, none from the Commissioner as well. So I'm happy to put the motion. All those in favour? Nil against, and the motion is carried. Thank you. Mr CEO, are there any items of urgent business?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
If not, I'd like to thank everyone for their attendance here today and close the meeting. Thank you.